So the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's begin with a word of prayer tonight. Father, I thank you so much just for who you are in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts to your word, and that tonight it wouldn't be anything that I say, but just that your word would speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to sanctify our lives. Lord, search our hearts tonight, Lord, and just work in our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, the title of my message tonight is Sanctifying for Tomorrow. Sanctifying for Tomorrow. Now, many of you know the story of Joshua, but we're going to read just one verse about what happened after this took place. All right. If you turn over to chapter 6, a couple chapters over, and we're going to jump all the way down to verse 20. If you remember, the children of Israel marched around the walls almost 13 times before this verse took place, all right? But as we look here in verse 20, it says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew their trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." What a great story, right? We just read the summary of it all, but amazing story, right? Here the children of Israel saw God work in a magnificent way in their lives, in just a very large way. But we're going to turn fast forward, all right? The best part about the Bible is we don't just see one day at a time. We can see a bunch of days, all right? And so we're going to fast forward a little bit in their life and look at chapter 7, just right across the page there in verse 3. Here they are. They've gone up, gearing to go up to battle again. Joshua has sent out spies just like Jericho, and the spies are coming back. Verse 3 says, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the men about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Completely different story, right? As we read this, and you know, probably most of us know how it all turned out, but as we read this story, compared to the Battle of Jericho, completely different, right? Here they are, just a few thousand men in this city, and we find that their hearts were smote, that people died here, and there was no victory that night. What made the difference? What was the difference and what happened, all right? I believe that tonight we must sanctify our lives so that God can use us. We must sanctify our lives so that God can use us. And we're going to see what happens right here. We saw what happened without sanctification and what happened with sanctification, okay? And we're going to look at that a little closely in our own lives. But have you ever had a day like chapter 7? Right? You went into it. Maybe God wanted you to do something. Maybe you're like, I know I need to witness to this person. Or I need to encourage this person, talk to this person, whatever it is that God wanted you to do. And you just fall flat on your face. I know I've had those days, right? Just bombed it, right? Did not go well. And then I've had the Joshua chapter 6 experience where when I did what God wanted me to do, it went amazingly, right? And I thought, well, why can't we do that again? But we find that there's a difference in our lives. All right, so the first thing we're going to see here tonight is the necessity, all right? The necessity of sanctification. We saw right here in chapter 7 that it didn't go well because there was no sanctification in this battle, all right? Joshua and the Israelites learned the hard way, remove sin before battle. Remove sin before you do what God wants you to do. Sanctify here means to set apart or to purify. And we must set ourselves apart for the work of the Lord tonight. Tonight, God has something he wants each one of us to do, and we must set ourselves apart. We must sanctify ourselves, cleanse ourselves from sin, okay, and then go forward with what the Lord has for us tonight. Before we can help, pray, or encourage someone, we must be pure in heart. We must have all sin removed. Everything must be clean before the Lord. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many? We have several married people here tonight. How many people have ever picked up a glass after their wife or husband drank out of it, right? And you get a sip of it. and maybe you're hit with lip, or not lipstick, but maybe some of you lipstick, all right? My wife is usually chapstick, right? I just taste chapstick when I do it. But sometimes maybe you'll taste whatever it is, right? I've drunk after some guys at work before accidentally, and it might taste like the onions they had for dinner, right? It's just nasty, okay, when we pick up glasses. But we find here that God is talking about vessels here. Paul is writing to Timothy, and we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 20. 2 Timothy, let's see here. 2 Timothy 3 and verse, there's not a verse 20. Let's see here. I think we're looking, is it 1 Timothy? There's no 1 Timothy 3. Let's see. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 20. All right. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." All right, and we could continue reading, but Paul tells Timothy, he says, purify yourself. Clear out anything that's wrong so that you can be used of the Lord. You can imagine back in the days of Bible times, they didn't have toilets, okay? And so often they would use a vessel, all right? And the vessel that they used in our modern day bathrooms, okay, would probably not be one that you would drink out of, right? It's just a fact of life. You would not use that. It was a vessel of dishonor. You did not use it, right? God wants us in our lives to be pure enough to be used of him. Okay, he wants all impurities out of it. He wants to be able to take us off the shelf and use us, just like that. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared for what he has for our lives. It's important for us, I don't know about you, but when we take a drink of water, we like to drink maybe out of a glass, right? A fresh glass. There's nothing like drinking water out of it. Why? Because it's clean, right? There's no taste from anything before, but it's fresh. It's ready to be used. And in our lives, God wants us to be the same way. He wants us to be ready just to be used, just to be able to be grabbed and used. And we're going to continue to look at this, all right? But tonight, are you in need of sanctification? I would say yes, each of us are we not? We are in need of sanctification. We need God to look at our lives and set us apart, all right? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but the first thing we see is the necessity, all right? It's important for us to be clean before the Lord. The second thing is the source. How do we become clean before the Lord, all right? 1 Thessalonians, you're right there in 2 Timothy. We're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm back just a few pages. We can look all throughout the Bible on sanctification. And one day we're going to be completely pure before the Lord, right? Which we're looking forward to that day. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Chapter 5 here, there's several lists that Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. I believe there's about 14 things in this chapter. But he comes to the end of it all, and he's verse 22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, does Paul say, here you are, here's a bunch of things to do. Does he say, now go purify yourself? He doesn't, does he? What does he say? He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." We can't sanctify ourselves on our own. All right, have you ever seen a glass on a counter just automatically clean itself? Probably not, right? It doesn't work that way. My wife says it definitely doesn't work that way. But it's important for us to clean it, and God wants to clean our lives. He wants to prepare our lives for use. I think probably the greatest example is in Psalms chapter 139. All right, so let's turn back there. Told you we'd have you all over. Psalm 139. I'm sure you've read this chapter before, but if you're ever discouraged, read Psalms 139. It's just an encouragement about all that God knows about us, right? He knows everything about us. Verse 17, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the number of the sand." To think that God thinks more about me than the number of the sand, has more thoughts about me, right? About every one of us. God is constantly thinking about us. He knows every little detail of our lives. But when we get to the end of all that, we say, this is how great God is. He knows so much about me. Here's what David says. Verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And tonight, that's what we need to do if we expect God to use us. Before the Israelites could go out to battle and God would actually use them, give them victory in their lives, we find that they had to sanctify themselves. They had to come before the Lord and ask, Lord, what do I need to get out of my life? What sin is in my life? I want to be used of you. My goal is to be used of you. But what do I need to do? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And then it says, and then lead me in the way everlasting. And then we can follow after the Lord, right? After we have cleansed our hearts, after we've cleansed our bodies, after God has shown us what to work on, then let's go on for the Lord, right? We're that clean vessel ready to be used by him. And David realized that no one knows him like God. And so he prays for God to search him. We must ask God to sanctify our lives. All right, we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 7 here. And we'll be here for the remainder in Joshua. But Joshua chapter 7. You know, here they are. Joshua, here's Joshua in the midst of really a failure, right? He's won for the Lord. They've had victory over so many things. But we find here as we get to Joshua chapter, let's see here, chapter 7, or sorry, chapter 8, and let's see, I have it all mixed up in here. Chapter 7, verse 13. All right, that's the one we're looking for. And this is, Joshua goes to the Lord and he cries out to him. In verse 13, it says, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Okay, so Joshua goes to the Lord. He says, I don't know what's happening in my life. He says, we've just had this major failure, this major just catastrophe, right? I mean, here we are. This was a simple battle. We've just won against Jericho, and here we are going against the men of Ai. It's a simple battle. It's a little thing. They should be dead. You should have worked on our behalf, but they haven't. And he goes before the Lord, and the Lord says, it's time to sanctify yourselves again for their sin inside the camp. And in our lives, that's what we need to go to the Lord. Lord, what is it that you want to work on in my life? What is it in our lives that God wants to work on? We need to sanctify ourselves. I don't know if you've ever gotten something in your foot or in your eye. I remember when I was working for the tree service, one of the guys was up in the bucket truck and he was cutting a tree and he got it looked like a limb. He felt like a limb anyway, but it wasn't a limb. It was a little wood chip into his eye. He came out of there fast, right? Get this thing out of my eye. He wanted me to look right up into it. And in our lives, when there's something going on, when we know that there's something wrong, we need to go to the Lord. Lord, get it out, right? Sanctify me. Lord, search me, O Lord. Know my thoughts. Search out my way to see if there be any wicked in me. Are you relying on the Lord tonight to sanctify you? Are you saying, you know what? I've got this. I can look at my own life, right? Many times as Christians, we know the way. We know what's right, right? But how many times do we go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it in my life that I need to fix? What is it in my life that I need to sanctify? What do I need to set apart in order to be set apart for you? What do I need to get rid of in my life? Lord, sanctify me. We find that there's a necessity for sanctification. There's a source. It comes from God. And then lastly tonight, there's the product. There's the product of sanctification. We already looked at the product a little bit because when Joshua told the children of Israel to sanctify themselves, we find that they did, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, right? Amazing story, okay? But we're going to look at chapter 8 here and look at verse 25. It's a long story here, but we're going to skip to the end of it again, and we've done that a lot tonight. But they go up after after Ai again, and in verse 25, it says, and so this is after they've sanctified themselves, all right? They've taken care of Achan, the sin in the camp. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. It says, and Joshua burnt Ai and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. Completely different story, right? This is what should have happened the first time when the children of Israel went up against Ai, but they weren't sanctified. They had sin in the camp. There was sin in their life. And for us, it's going to be the same way. We can go forward for the Lord. We can be fighting for the Lord. We can be striving to do what's right. But if there's sin in our life, it does no good. Tonight we have to sanctify ourselves. Pray unto the Lord. Lord, what is it that you want? What sin is in my life that I can get rid of? Right? Just show me, Lord. Sanctify me this evening. And the Israelites learned an invaluable lesson that week. Before God could use them, they had to be sanctified before him. Before God could use them, they had to be sanctified. And before God can use us as clean vessels for his work, we must sanctify ourselves through the Lord. Tonight, we have to do that same thing. God has something he wants me to do. He has something that he wants you to do. But there can be no sin in our lives. Lord, search my ways, right? See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. But we have to cleanse our lives. God wants to do wonders with you, but we have to sanctify ourselves. Joshua chapter 3, the verse that we begin with. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God wants to do something great in our lives. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know that God lays on our heart to go witness to someone that we're not going to be able to because we have sin in our lives. You know, today I think, well, I can harbor this thought in my mind, or I can just dwell on something that I shouldn't be dwelling on, because what is it going to affect today, right? I'm just laying here in bed, right, with nothing else to think about. But what about tomorrow? Joshua said, sanctify yourselves today so that God can use you tomorrow. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be that clean vessel that he can simply take and just use, put right to use. He doesn't want to wait on us. He wants us to go forward for the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you want to be a clean vessel? Do you want God to do wonders through you tonight? Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. We're going to pray tonight, and I'm going to pray, and maybe you can just in your own heart say, Lord, search me. Search me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. What is it tonight that's in your heart? Ask God, right? Sanctify me. Purify me so that I can go forward for you. We must sanctify our lives tonight so that God can use us. Father, I thank you so much for the holiness that you've shown in your own life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to sanctify our hearts. Lord, we want to be close to you. We want nothing between you and the Savior. Us and the Savior. Lord, I pray that you would just open our pathways. Lord, search our hearts. Lord, search my heart. If there be some wicked way, Lord, help us to be able to fix it and go forward for you. Lord, we just love you, and we thank you so much for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.